three, two, now.
All right, just cut the first part out.
Not like that. Two okay. Now is the funniest way to start.
Okay, this is it, guys. This is the giveaway episode. We're talking about Pokemon Red and Blue, and we're giving away in a cleaned up, sharp looking Game Boy with a copy of Pokemon Red that you can just play at your leisure because you love Pokemon and we love you. So listen to the episode. At some point in time, we're going to share a secret password. You'll need to get the password, email us or message us on Instagram or TikTok. Everything is just at 100 games and a funeral at Gmail or on Instagram, on TikTok. Email us the password, and that's got you entered in. We'll do a drawing. We'll announce everything. The winners will get in contact with people when we need to. But this is it. This is the one.
This is our little way of saying we're never going to stop trashing Pokemon.
But we still want you to listen to the podcast. So we'll give you something free. Hey. Nice. Hello, everybody, all of you listeners, everyone here. Welcome to another episode of 100 Games and a Funeral, a podcast we started to talk about video games and some historical video games. Today, we are joined by two extra special people. Not that me and Thad are not special, but these ones are extra special. We've got Connor and Tyler, not necessarily in that order, but from the podcast, Who's Got Next Game, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're excited to be here. Thank you guys for having us on. I mean, I got a chance to listen to some of your guys' episodes, and you guys got some fun stuff, some cool and interesting topics. I mean, I love listening through. You guys are doing like a top 100 games, and I've been kind of listening through on each, you know, game and what you're talking about. And it's okay to be wrong, but we'll work on it. We'll gradually build there. But no, we're just excited to be here, Connor and I. We're just excited to work with another podcast.
That's really it. Good. We're here for the networking.
Okay.
I mean, we're just excited to hear about the topic because we just found out maybe about 5 minutes ago, but because I could have prepared a real good defense.
Yeah.
But we could have prepared a really good defense. So we're just going off the cuff here. So if we don't defend this well, I mean, we might have to look at our own podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Blame me. It's fine. I've compiled a lot of notes. I'm really going to hit you hard with the Pokemon takes.
Okay.
But we are just happy to have you here and discuss games and spread the love about video gaming and get each other's podcasts some extra love and attention out there. Exactly. So welcome.
Yeah. And it's also fun to just like talk with more people. Because I mean, Steve and Dad, I know you guys are probably like bros. You guys are homies. But like after a while, you probably get sick of each other and you're like, oh,
I can't stand to
somebody else.
Yeah, we're arch enemies, but we decided, you know, podcast, let's do it.
Yep. Arch enemy podcast, man. That's a whole nother level.
At the end of the podcast, we're going to fight to the death. Like on the 100th game.
Yeah, that's the surprise last episode.
a live leak video of us trying to kill each other.
That's going to be the like final. Napoleon, that's going to be Dynamite. Number one. It's not even going to be a game. It's just going to be you two out in the field.
And that's when it will really take off too, after one of y'all's death. Like,
whatever. Posthumous podcast. Yeah. Like when rappers get shot. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or like when a musician passes away, like all their stuff just shoots up.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Well, whoever survives the fight will be wealthy. I'm gonna start training.
Yeah. So this week has been fun for me. I've been playing Pokemon Red, but also trying to get into the era of the time. I watched the movie Heat. You guys seen the movie Heat?
I have not.
Isn't that like a old, isn't that with like Sandra? No, that's The Heat. Isn't that with like Robert De Niro or something?
Yep.
Yeah, you got it, Connor. Ooh, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. Heat, it's a heist movie.
The best.
It's exciting.
Heat is amazing.
If you haven't seen it, Tyler, you're missing out.
Yeah, I frankly miss out on a lot of things, so
that's okay.
Do you guys like action movies?
Yes,
I really like most movies. Like It depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm feeling like a comedy, sometimes an action. Sometimes I'm feeling a rom-com. I want to feel whimsical, and I'll put on a, you know, You've Got Mail or something like that.
Sometimes Connor just throws on 50 First Dates, and it's just like, yeah, this is it. This is the movie.
Connor, I love your honesty and transparency. It's great.
Yeah. As I've gotten older, I've realized I don't give... Are we allowed to curse on here? I didn't ask that beforehand.
Let it have it.
Okay, cool. I don't really give a fuck what people think anymore. Like, I used to a lot. That. And as I've gotten... Damn it.
Sorry. No, I'm
just kidding. You're fine. He said yes. I'm like, we'll bleep it out.
Whoa! Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine. So I don't care about admitting that. I'll put on, like, what's the one that I've watched? It's with Huey from The Boys. There's one with him and Maya Erskine that's a really good rom-com that I recommend everyone watch. Yeah.
I'll look it up.
When you think of the title, you let us know, and we'll
I will. Oh.
He's got it.
Damn it.
Nope.
It's like The Wedding Date. It's like The Wedding Date or something. It's like The Wedding Date. It's something like that.
Okay.
You're going to be, after this recording is done,
yeah,
you're going to think of it, and you're going to text me at like 4 in the morning.
I'm starting to think I might have seen that.
It's really good. Like, it's just a good movie. And well, I like both actors a lot, so.
Nice. Heat. Watch Heat.
Yeah,
I would advise Heat. It's got some of the greatest, like, gunfights possible.
You had me at gun.
It's really good.
The fight's not so much.
You don't have to say fight. You just say gun. I'm there. Like,
I was gonna say, have you guys watched? I know Steve was starting out. Have you guys finished Fallout yet? The TV show. Have you watched Fallout? The TV show.
I've watched one episode, and I'm not good at watching shows. Because I watch one episode and then I'm like, oh shit, I got something to do. And then I don't watch it for like 2 months.
That's my thing. I don't want to start it and then like drift off on my phone or whatever. So I want to make sure there's a specific time where I can watch it and actually put my effort into it. So that was supposed to be this weekend, but it just hasn't happened.
I would advise it if I think it's really fun. I really like Fallout a lot. I don't know if Steve finished it, but I finished it in like 2 days. It's a lot of fun. It's a pretty good show. I mean, it's got its problems because it's a show.
So does every show. I mean, yeah. Connor could go off on the Halo show.
Oh my God.
Oh, we it's don't not need the Halo to. Show. The Halo show is terrible. I will.
Thank God.
It's way better than that. It's
Connor rage watched the entire thing.
Just punching the air.
Yep.
I mean, the first episode just already, like, of the entire series put me off. But how long are the episodes for Fallout? That's more my thing. Like, is it a 45-minute or is it, like, 35?
It's about an hour, 30. I think.
An hour? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's not bad.
So I've got to pay attention. Okay.
Yeah, I got to get on that, too. Because I do really like Fallout as a collective. So I think that would actually be a really cool show.
Yeah.
Like, I would, yeah, because I really need to start watching more shows. I feel like I'm left behind in a lot.
Yeah, dude, the only thing to do is just consume constant entertainment. You have to, like, family, friends, jobs.
Ignore them.
Ignore everything and just watch and consume.
Ignore all.
Yep. Just fully embrace.
Watch Fallout. Watch Halo.
Like, you might end up home.
What are you guys watching?
Connor's going to be a sponsor of the Halo show.
What am I watching right now? I'm rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, so I've been doing that. I'm also, again, I don't give a fuck. I watch reality TV.
No one's judging you here, Connor. It's okay.
It is the worst. It's the worst, like, TV, but it's so good. Like, I call myself a raccoon of media because I will eat the good gourmet the stuff, garbage. Like Succession, whatever, but I will eat the garbage like Vanderpump Rules and that shit.
Oh, I thought you're gonna say Love on the Spectrum or something. You're going like hardcore.
No.
The
like
real
wine trash. Mom reality. Like, yep.
And you want to know something? Obviously, some of it is scripted, but some of that shit is real. And oh, it's so good. You just have to be in the right mind frame to watch it. I'm telling you, I highly suggest anyone watch Vanderpump Rules. It is so messy because it's about servers who all work at a restaurant under one of like the Real Housewives. And they were real people in the beginning, like dirt poor. So it's all them like sleeping with each other and cheating on each other.
Shit, so they weren't cartoon characters. Like,
but Ty, you would think they are the way they act and how many drugs they do to make them seem like cartoon characters.
That's awesome. I used to like,
well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
I used to look down on reality shows, but I realized maybe like 3 years ago, I like sports a lot. And some of my favorite parts of sports is the drama in between seasons. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. Like fully grown adults. Like actually he was a terrible coach and I hate him. And I just love it. I'm like, that's, oh my gosh.
Dad, you have the right mind frame to watch reality TV. So that's what you gotta do. You gotta enjoy the drama.
Exactly. Like 100%. Connor is a man of the people. He will watch anything.
Really? Almost I will.
Anything.
Yeah.
Does except for Fallout.
Until I will. I want to. That's my thing. Because I loved like Last of Us. I love that. Like I love
Connor has a napkin with like a written schedule. And it has Fallout on it. He just didn't put like when he was watching it. It's just on a napkin.
That's good. On my like board. A vision board. I'm just gonna write it.
It's you know how like people have the calendars that are on the refrigerator. Connor just has napkins all over his refrigerator.
Do you not have paper or a phone?
No. Why would I put notes in my phone? No, it's on napkins where it could be easily be lost and thrown away.
Exactly. Good idea.
Or blow your nose into.
Yeah.
So I had a question before we go to the game discussion. I wanted to know like what game, I would say your favorite game, but that's not really an easy one to do. So what game did you put the most time into? For me, it's World of Warcraft. Just because of the way I am. But y'all, what's the game you put the most time in?
Go ahead, Connor.
The most time and money is Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Right, like on. I'm going to Go Fest. I've gone to 2 Go Fests in person now, and to like other events for Pokemon. So Go Fests are essentially a park will close off somewhere. Like they do it all over the world, but I've only gone on the ones in America for right now. So in Seattle, like the Space Needle like park and area was completely closed off for this Pokemon event, and then there was also a part in the city too that you could play. I'm going to New York in July to go do GoFest. So that's the most time and money I've put into. And I've also been to LA and Las Vegas for the game too.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
You're perfect for this episode. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, Connor, you had talked about doing one of the international ones too, right?
I mean, I'd love to. It's just, it's flights over. That's really what it is. Like
Yeah. Well, like I know you have been in talks about doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to maybe next year do an international one. It's just, I got to get my passport. I've got to, you know, get tickets. Where would I go? Depends where. I mean, I would go to the Europe one probably. So this year it's in Madrid, the Europe Go Fest, you know, wherever they do it next. They've done London, Germany, and now Madrid.
And they just shut down a place in order for people to play Pokemon Go and trade with each other and all that.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to get hit by cars.
That's good. That's important.
People are allowed into the parks, but for the most part, it's just going to be Pokemon people. Like the LA one was at the Rose Bowl, and they completely shut down the Rose Bowl. And like, I got to walk on the field of the Rose Bowl. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's a great event. It's great to meet people. I've met people internationally through the game. So that's the most amount of time and money I've put into a game.
And a couple of like you've met like a couple of YouTubers through it, right?
Yeah, yeah. A couple, there's a guy named Milo. He has a podcast and a decent sized YouTube channel, about 20,000 followers. I was a Discord mod for him, and then I have a job, so I can't really do that anymore. But I still meet up with him, and that's who I hang out with. I'm going to hang out with him in New York.
That's awesome. Wow.
Tyler, what's your game of choice?
Well, that's hard because I've invested a lot of hours in a lot of different games. If we're talking like overall hours, it would probably be Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Pokemon's a close second because I love the Pokemon franchise, but Smash Brothers was the one I probably played the longest and put the most hours into. now is Tetris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tetris.
Yeah. So I am a competitive Tetris player. I've been playing for about 2 years now. And I've gone to a couple tournaments out in, I'm wearing one of the shirts for it, actually. It's the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. They do a tournament out there. They used to host the World Championship, but now they're hosting it down in the LA area. I've gone to that one. There was a retro game convent that event that Connor, myself, and my other co-host, Charles, we all go to every so often when I can, because I live in California now. But it's called the Game On Expo in Arizona. They do a Tetris tournament out there as well. I've been to that one as well. But yeah, those were kind of the two main ones that I've dedicated a lot of hours to. Pokemon is up there, though, because I've played through a decent amount of the series, and I've gone back to older games as well. But I would say most of the modern stuff, like console stuff, I didn't quite touch on, but for the most part, I would say Smash Brothers and Tetris are kind of my two main, like, meat and potatoes of the games that I've played.
That's great. I think I did listen to one of your episodes where you were talking about the Tetris competitions, now that I'm remembering. I was like, that's impressive. I've seen, like, videos. There was one of a kid recently that did something amazing in Tetris.
Yeah, Blue Scooty.
What did he do?
Yeah, so basically, you know how NES games are. They only have a certain amount of memory stored onto them. Tetris is supposed to be an, quote, infinite game. But the way that the game pulls memory is that, you know, as you continue through the levels, it'll just continue to pull from the same area of the memory. And then eventually that part of the memory gets corrupted and changes the colors in the game. And then it eventually tries to pull it from the RAM instead of the memory. And what happens is they pull it from the RAM. There's nothing there. So it just freezes the game in place. So you don't lose the game because it's topped out. The game cannot continue.
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's insane. I mean, and he's 14.
Yeah.
Like, he's a kid. And he absolutely destroyed this game that I've been playing for years. And like,
yeah, it's always the kids.
It's crazy. Like,
that's why I don't play Call of Duty anymore.
Seriously.
Yeah.
See, I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I'm like, man, let him break it.
Oh, they're on the spectrum. You know what I mean? Sure.
Let it happen, man. Like, let it happen, dude.
Yeah. No, I encourage it. Kudos to anyone that can like master a game like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Connor.
I remember. Yeah. Is there mastery of Pokemon Go? Is that a thing you can master, or it's more just the fun? And
it's more for fun. I do it for fun, and to like, it's how I've honestly met like good friends now. Like I have friends overseas, but I mean, there's a guy named Brandon Tan who I think has crossed like the 2 billion XP mark, maybe 5 bill. Like he's got, and these are people who've put, I'm going to say hundreds of tens of thousands of dollars in the game and have traveled the world to do it, because there's no other way to do it.
Man.
Wow.
Because there's certain Pokemon only in certain areas of the world.
Well, that, yeah, there is. There are some. But also events and stuff. And then, yeah, gotcha. It's mostly events, though. That's really what,
like,
you'll miss out on.
It's basically like in a regular Pokemon game, like certain games have like better odds for certain Pokemon, but it's more like in the Pokemon Go world, it's like there are certain Pokemon found in certain types of regions throughout the world. And like Connor's done some international trading because he knows he can't get his hands on some of the Pokemon. So I know that he has a couple of exclusive Pokemon from like Australia or, you know, Europe or stuff like that.
Is that like a crocodile Pokemon?
Well, so it depends. Angry. So Kangaskhan is a
Steve Irwin.
It's only found in Australia.
The stingray.
Yeah, it's a stingray.
Yeah, fucking Mantyke. Fucking kick a Mantyke or something. But like Kangaskhan is only found in Australia, because it's a kangaroo. Trying to think. Carnivine is only found in a certain part of the U.S., I think. It's like the swamp area. I know that Buffalant, which is a buffalo, is only found in the New York, New Jersey area for some reason. Wow. Yeah, so it's just stuff like that. But of course, you can always trade them.
They put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, they put a lot of thought into like where the Pokemon are.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, actually. I didn't know anything about that.
I played Pokemon Go when it first came out because literally, like, at my work, everyone was playing it. I remember going out on lunch break in the parking lot. Everyone was outside playing it. But that ended like a week later for me. So,
and that's what happened. They didn't capitalize off the success of the game. I would say they started to like really build upon it and make it better probably 2 years to 3 years after the initial drop. Wow, which makes me a little sad because I think if people found out more about the game, I feel like they would enjoy it more than that initial launch. Because that initial launch, it was really just a catch and that's it game. Now there's a lot more to do.
Thad got the early access version.
I mean, yeah. We all did, unfortunately. Yeah.
I burnt out on it pretty quick as well, but I did try it.
I think it also stems from like the way that games are being released now. It's like they release the kind of like the bare bones of the game and then add things on later, which I understand just trying to get a game out. But also, like, you got to understand the caveat to, you know, if you don't release a game fully, you're releasing a half-release game, you're going to lose a good percentage of people in it because people have expectations of if you're releasing something, then it's, you know, unless you've specified to them it's beta testing or if it's something, you know what I mean, where you're giving them context versus right. Like, oh, here's the release of, you know, Pokemon Go. And then now all these features get added, you know, years down the road. And I'm not saying they needed to have it all exactly ready to go right out of the gate, but, you know, it was very bare bones when it first released. And I think they had higher expectations for it. And they wanted to do more with it. It's just a matter of like it was getting it off the ground. And I think if they had waited a little longer to put just a couple more features in, I think it would have really, I mean, it already took off because, you know, Pokemon's a, what, the number one most well-known brand, media brand.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah. But like if they, I feel as if they were to wait a little bit longer and have those little extra features, it would have skyrocketed.
You know what,
well, Steve? Live and learn.
All this What's conversation that? Has me thinking about something.
What's that?
It's our smooth transitions. I don't know.
Great maybe, segue.
Maybe this week's game, Steve?
This week's game, we're playing Pokemon Red and or Blue. So let's travel back to 1998, the year this game released. I'm going to just paint the picture of what was going on. We had our top box office movies, best picture winner, Titanic, which was also the first movie to gross over $1 billion.
Jeez.
If you can believe that. Armageddon, Saving Private Ryan, There's Something About Mary, The Waterboy. Pretty solid year for movies.
That's good. That's actually
not bad. That's a good collection.
I do have a funny story about Saving Private Ryan. So
there's not
a comedic movie.
So at my job, we were talking about like just older movies and stuff. And I talk very quickly sometimes and I don't realize what I say.
You're doing
and
right
we
now.
Were talking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, and then there's this like army movie or whatever. And I'm like, oh, it's Saving Ryan's Privates.
Nope.
And I was like,
close.
I walked away and I'm like, I think I know what I said.
I think they did make that movie, but that's not the one.
Yeah, that's a different movie.
That's a parody.
It just
that
had like, I was
online.
Just talking so fast.
It's okay.
Yeah. Don't look at that music. Parody though. I have to, please don't. It might give you a virus.
The boat, the boat opens and something else is flying. Oh,
yeah, they're getting shot. All right. It's just a different substance.
We've taken a turn. The music, not so good, but there was Too Close by Next. The Boy Is Mine. You're Still the One from Shania Twain. Truly, Madly, Deeply from the people that sang that. And then How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes. So a little weaker.
Those aren't
great. I was about to say, those aren't really club bangers.
No, not at all. It was a soft time for music, really in our feelings and emotions then. Some fun facts about the year 1998. The first Google Doodle made its appearance. That's still going on.
Thad or anyone know who won the Super Bowl in 1998?
Okay, would this have been the 19?
He's on it.
I got really wrecked last time, so I think I got. So this would have been for the 97 season, right?
Yep, 97, 98.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to go with Broncos.
I was going to think that. I think that was a 98 season. The Broncos beat the Packers in 98. So I'm thinking.
I was going to say the Broncos or Dallas because they were both good during that time.
I think the Packers won in 97. I think that was Holmgren's first.
Your belt has been passed. It's the Denver Broncos. 100 claims for heavyweight football trivia.
No. I don't watch football.
Let's go.
Oh, he doesn't even watch football.
No, but you want to know how I know? My uncle is a Broncos fan, and he had a shirt that had the thing. That's
you remember 1998. Did they
beat Slumdog Millionaire?
Did they beat the Packers?
That could be. I don't know.
Golly, all right.
We'll give you that.
Connor's got it.
Do we know who won the World Cup that year?
It was on there, but I didn't write it.
France, down. Brazil.
Oh no! It was France. It was France. Yes.
Okay.
They won it in France, in 98.
Nice.
France won it in France. Yeah.
Harrison Ford was People's Sexiest Man Alive.
How old was he?
In 98? Not sure.
He must have been
50.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I could see that.
He's old now, but he was also old then. according to Forbes, the word of the year was the prefix "e," as in email or e-commerce. And it was a close race.
That's not a word.
That doesn't count. I'm bothered by
it. It's not a word. Yeah. It's a prefix.
It's Forbes. They're not really known for the word.
Pompous fuck wrote that.
Sorry. Close race with the term sexual relations, which was made popular by former president Bill Clinton.
He did not.
Hell yeah.
I did not have. And then gallon of gas was $1.06, and the average home price was $152,500.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this makes me mad every week he reads these.
Yeah, this isn't fun. This isn't fun.
The gas really stuck around. But without diverting into world politics, we'll get straight into the Pokemon facts. And I'll blow through these because I have a feeling we're going to talk a lot about the actual game. They released this in Japan in 96 as Red and Green, and then a solo follow-up with Blue later the same year in Japan. And then US got it in 98 as Red and Blue. I'm sure Connor already knew that.
Mm-hmm. I knew those came to the U.S. I knew those came to the U.S. first. Why? I wonder why they didn't do green here, but they did red and blue. I'm very confused by
that. That's a good question. I should have looked that up. My fault.
No, it's okay.
I think at least from what I remember, green wasn't released here because they wanted to keep it exclusive to Japan. They didn't want to have like a triple release in North America. They wanted North America to have their own versions of the game, which Blue kind of just correlated. It just made sense to keep it that way. But they did Red because they wanted all the starters to have, you know, each color on the game as well. Mm. And so I think that they believed that North America liked Charizard and Blastoise better than Venusaur.
Yeah, we did.
Because I think it's, you know, the dragons.
Confirmed.
That makes sense.
Guns, you know.
That would actually make sense to why they kept red and blue for the cover art.
We'll take that as fact. This game was developed by Game Freak and published by Nintendo. Game Freak makes all the Pokemon games, yes.
And we love Game Freak.
Yeah, they do.
We hope they let us.
Yes, Game Freak, please be nice.
For an episode and we'll say good things about you.
Millions of dollars.
Even if you don't sponsor us, I'm still going to say good things about you.
I will absolutely be a sellout for Game Freak. I will show myself out.
We'll get into that. Most of the ideas came from Satoshi Tajiri, who pitched the idea for Pokemon in 1990, but was told it was too ambitious. He came up with the idea because he was into bug collecting as a kid, but the urbanization of his town eliminated a lot of the bugs. So he wanted to make a game akin to bug collecting, but where kids could feel connected to the things they captured by naming them. He made them faint instead of die because he didn't want to further fill the gaming world with pointless violence. So a real nice guy. Just out there collecting bugs. Nintendo spent over $50 million to promote the game to Western audiences. $50 million just in promotion.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
Honestly, popular as it is
now, I'm not surprised of that number.
Yeah, it paid off.
Yeah.
America was worried that cute little monsters wouldn't do well and suggested they beef them up for the U.S. release. But the then president of Nintendo, Hiroshi Yamauchi, refused and instead viewed the game's possible reception in America as a challenge to face, which I admire.
I'm loving the idea of like a 1998 extreme Pokemon.
Yeah, like, that would be America for sure. Yeah.
And that probably would
have weapons.
And that wouldn't have done as well, I feel.
I mean, Power would not have been successful back then.
Yeah.
74 million copies sold of Red, Green, and Blue, grossing. Do you want to guess the number of gross money made Red, Green, and Blue?
Okay, you got to think, how much was the game back then? It was probably $20. 200 mil?
It wasn't 30. I thought Game Boy. Not 30.
200 mil?
At that time.
The number I got was $3.28 billion.
What?
So I don't know what the math is there.
I'm assuming that's with all markets. I'm assuming that's collectively between Japan, North America, and Europe.
I think that's correct.
Don't feel bad. He does this to me every week. I get
I was like, you know what? 200 mil off game sales. That sounds about right. Nope. 3.2.
So 50 million...
Would have said like 1 billion.
Yeah.
You'd have been closer. A lot. And like
the Metacritic.
I mean,
go ahead.
Pokemon is popular in America. It is like a revolution in Japan. It's like, it's its own society. Like,
yeah.
It lives on that way. There are like cafes, there are restaurants, there are literal things that are built because of the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah. Well, the games take place in maybe not an actual place in Japan, but certainly modeled after places in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The first three.
Yeah. So it's a Japanese game through and through. Yep. Would anyone like to guess the Metacritic score for Pokemon Red and or Blue?
They both have the same Metacritic score.
They have the same score.
Okay.
But Yellow did not, surprisingly.
Metacritic's out of 100?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100% is the best.
79% is screaming out to me.
Okay.
I'm going to say 86.
Okay. Thad? pressure's on.
I'm going to say 84. We have a law. It's called Brent's Law. If you're within a certain percentile, which I can't remember right now, then you technically win. So I think it's like a 10th percentile. Okay. So
the score is 88%.
Oh, let's go.
That one was a
easy win.
Wow.
That's right.
But Pokemon Yellow, I think, did get 84 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know Yellow was a little bit lower because I think it was released a little bit later. But interesting fact, though, they did release a little bit, like, I don't remember exactly when, but they did release a version of Pokemon Yellow for the SNES.
Huh.
I don't know if it was sold commercially. I don't know if it was sold commercially, but I've seen the cartridges for it, and they do it so that you could like plug it into your SNES instead of having the Game Boy adapter. You could just get that, and it has the game on it.
Oh, I don't own that. I'm sure
it's pretty cool. Like, I don't have it, but I'm like, that's such a cool concept.
That is cool. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hit you with a good review and a bad review. A good review comes from IGN at the time of release. He said, Pokemon really is worthy of being one of the Game Boy System's greatest games. It's not just a fad, a craze, or a trend. If you don't have this game in your library, pick one up. It doesn't matter if you pick Blue or Red. They're both the same game. You'll just have to make sure you've got a friend with the other version if you want to catch them all.
Okay, glad they put that caveat in there.
Yeah. The bad review comes straight from Google. Google reviews, Caleb Lay.
Because we trust Google.
Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out, Caleb.
He says, I like Pokemon Red and Blue, but the colors are horrible. So I'm assuming you played on Game Boy Color. The main reason is because it's on the Game Boy. But don't get me wrong. I like this game, but it needs to be improved a little.
How many stars was that? Or what was like?
He gave it 3 out of 5. There were some 1-star, but they were more trolley reviews.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They weren't really valid. They were like, the music you hear in this one town makes you want to kill yourself. Oh, like,
yeah, that's...
That was me.
That was bad. last thing, notable Pokemon pop culture moment. Do you remember Twitch Plays Pokemon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had an average of 50,000 people participating at the same time.
each day. They finished the game in about a week, totaling 390 hours of gameplay.
It was crazy. I remember maybe it was the first time they got the character stuck and there was a huge battle to get him out of
the
building.
Didn't they have to change? I was going to say, didn't they have to change the server for that? Because they had to change it to like almost like a big scale event stream.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that was people trying to relive it and all play at the same time, which I can't imagine. I did not join in. That's about all the fun facts I have for it. So we can get into the actual game. Please share.
So there was also another Twitch stream of a goldfish playing Pokemon Red.
I think that sounds familiar.
So basically what the guy did, he built this sensor around his fish tank that has like these lines that the fish swim through. And when he swims through that line, it pushes that button. So it emulates the button pushes. He made it all the way to Brock.
Which is?
And beat Brock.
That's the first gym leader.
Okay.
That's incredible. He beat him?
I mean,
he beat
Brock. I think he made it further than Thad did.
Yeah. It's 100%.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy to me because I'm like, it's just a fish swimming around.
By random. Yeah.
Made it all the way to Brock. I don't remember. I can't remember what starters they picked or anything, but. That I thought that was one of the cool factoids. And then
that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like to think about that, like a fish made it to Brock.
I don't know how much of an argument that is for the game.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It is a fun fact.
I mean, it's cool though. Like that's proof that is cool. Anybody can play it.
Yeah.
Factual. So, yes.
Another interesting fact, and I'm actually gonna make this more of like kind of how you were quizzing us on some stuff.
Yep.
So I watch a lot of speedruns of video games.
I watch one.
What game was it?
Well, is this for this game, for this podcast?
Oh, for this. Okay, so you've watched the speedrun of this. So you may know the answer to this.
Watch the end.
So there's a category for this called Any Percent Glitchless. Do you guys know how much time it took, what the number one time is right now for Pokemon Red and Blue? Any percent glitchless, so no glitches, no walking through walls or coding or anything like that.
That's actually the one I watched, so I'm going to abstain.
Yep.
I'm guessing.
3 hours?
Is it like obscenely low, like 5 minutes or something?
No, it's not that low. It's not any percent. Because any percent, you can like run glitches, run, you know, like walk through walls. Like if you can break the game in some way, then you can do it, but it's not that. So any percent glitchless means there's no glitches allowed. You have to play the game as intended, but you get through as fast as possible.
Say like two hours.
Connor, are you saying three?
Three.
It is 1 hour, 44 minutes.
Fuck
and three
me.
Seconds.
Wow.
How?
That's the video I watched. The kid was not super excited at the end. He's more stunned.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would be stunned too. If I just broke a record, like.
I've watched other speedruns and they're usually like amped at the end of it.
Yeah.
They can't believe that they've done it. But this kid was just sitting there staring at this.
Like, it's a lot. Well, it's really mentally taxing because, like, you have to understand, like, movement. You have to move exact. You have to stay on a certain path. There's random elements that can happen within the game because you can run into a lot of encounters through, like, Mountain Moon. Is it Mountain Moon? What am I thinking? Is that the right?
Yeah. That's
and then you're I'm asking Connor.
Yeah.
It's Mount.
Like Mount Moon and a couple other routes where you can run into random encounter Pokemon. But like, I guess there was two different strategies where one person took Squirtle and ran him through the entire game. And then the quote, most optimal way to play was to take Nidoking, who knew, I think it was like Horndrill or something. Or Horn Attack.
I think that was it. That's the thing the guy was using.
Yeah. And it's like a one-hit KO. And so he literally just blade Nidoking the entire game.
Huh. He was walking through the end. The last four, whatever you got, six you got a battle, he just stomped them.
Yep.
I saw that speedrun. It was fast, and I played longer than that and didn't get anywhere near the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absurd.
So we'll just touch on a few things about the game and we'll work our way through it. Musically, we've talked about the theme song from the show, but how do you feel about the music in the game? Or any Pokemon game, really, but we're going to try to stick to Red and Blue.
I feel that the music, it just brings me back to childhood. It makes me feel good. I mean, I don't really have much else to say other than, like, I feel like I'm a kid again when I play it. It's very whimsical and very, like, adventurous. Like, I want to keep playing and go through the game. And I like how different areas, like, Lavender Town, I think, is the one with all the ghosts. You know, that's a little bit more spooky. Yeah. And then it's been a while since I've played the beginning, so... And then, you know, Pallet Town has its own, you know, kind of different things. And then the different routes have music. I just love all of it. So it's just very nostalgic.
Yeah, they've all got their themes. Kind of simple tunes, but fun. And the marchy tune of just walking around is good. Yeah. Keeps you moving.
Well, and I like that you can distinguish each place based on their music. Like, if I were to take a playlist of all, of most of the Pokemon games that Connor has played, because I'm not going to even... music that he hasn't played a game from, he could probably get about 85-90% of it.
Which town is which song?
Yeah, like he would be, I think I have my confidence that Connor could
spreading get
a good amount of the music.
Well, thank you for your confidence, Ty.
I mean, on the other hand, I'd probably be like 40%.
And we've prepared it now, so here comes the
Yeah, I don't know. I you know, some of it obviously I feel like I could get, but there's somewhere I would need, like, multiple choice. I could do it with multiple choice, but if you're like, what's this, and you don't give me any choices, I would not be able to
play. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not just going to play a song and be like, tell me the exact fucking game. No, I'll give you multiple options. Like,
we're crafting the rules now. Yeah, yeah, music.
Give you a one out of four chance.
Okay. Now, the gameplay of the game. Let's talk about that for a little while.
Okay.
Because it's just a Pokemon game, and they're all similar, maybe, until you get up to, like, the 3D versions, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would say
to an extent. Yeah. Yeah, to an extent.
So you're a boy, and you have to leave home to capture Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, sometimes I guess I choose the girl skin. You never know.
Boy or girl.
There's a skin?
Yeah, hey,
you wear someone's skin. Mother, I've changed my skin. I'm leaving home.
Was there a skin in the red version you played, Connor? Because you didn't play the original, you played
In Fire Red and in Leaf Green, there was a boy or girl. I think they started that maybe, I don't know if it was in the beginning or not, but I do know, I think definitely by Johto, I think they had a, so for Silver and Gold, I believe they had boy and girl. I don't know about the first one. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I did not have a choice. I played it on Game Boy and did not get to choose.
Well, I'm ready to start the smoke here, so.
Okay, let's go.
There's smoke, there's fire. Here we go.
So, I don't know if it was red
it's
or
blue.
It's
not a debate podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if it was red or blue, but, and let me backstory this a little bit for you guys. So my friend got a Game Boy and she was playing it all the time. And this was back in like 98. My dad liked games, you know, like arcade games. He saw the Game Boy and he was interested by it. And he was like, hey, come check this out. Because he had not I had not seen a Game Boy prior. So I went over and I looked at it and I watched her play. And he's like, that's pretty awesome, huh? Do you want to get one? And I went, no.
Fucking no.
No. That looks boring. And she, like, shouts out Amber. She showed me the game. She showed me how it all works, like catching the Pokemon. And for the life of me, maybe it's because I don't have a great imagination, I think I couldn't place myself into the world. It just looked boring to me. The core gameplay loop of, like, I'm running around a city and then there's a Pokemon and I gotta capture them all. And that also gave me, like, a little bit of kid anxiety because I was like, all of them? I don't want to catch them. That's stressful.
That's a good point.
You were that kid.
I was. And we talked about this, like, in the first episode. My first, like, games that I ever saw anyone playing were FPSs, like Wolfenstein and Doom. So that's what a game was to me. And I liked that.
And that wasn't stressful?
No, I liked that. That was seemed awesome to me. When I saw, like, this top-down RPG on the Game Boy, it just didn't appeal to my sensibilities. It just seemed boring. And now all these years later, I look at Pokemon on the Game Boy and I
give it a little play for this podcast, and it just fails to grab me. And I know that people love it, and this is why we're excited to have you guys on, because you guys can defend, you know, what it means to you and why you like it. But for me, because I skipped it then, and I look at it now, it's such a pared down idea of an RPG where the core mechanic of it is just spending all my time to get more monsters, which of course is the core mechanic. And it never grabbed me. And that's kind of how we feel about Pokemon. And I mean, I don't want to speak for Steve, but whenever I think about it, I go, all right, that's what it is. So sorry. That's my take on the gameplay. Let me have
gotta
it.
Be sorry. That's your opinion, man. Hey, that's you, bro. Like I'll go first on it. Cause I grew up, you know, in my household, I was really the only one, collectively, I'd say, who played like console video games. Like my dad was super into arcade games and like the Atari. And then my mom, she kind of played games, but also, like, I would say for the most part was arcade-esque. But when it came to Pokemon, I was I was kind of in the same brain works as you, where I was at first hesitant. Because I was watching a friend of mine play, I think they had Fire Red at the time. And I had a Game Boy already. And I was like, man, this game is really cool. Like, it seems interesting, but I don't know if, like, I would just sit down and play it, or if I think it's cool just to, like, be with my buddy and talk to him about it because he's interested. And so I eventually was like, you know what? Like, I'll just ask for it for my birthday. And if I get it, great. If I don't, you know, whatever. I'm not going to make it a big deal. I ended up getting it for my birthday and playing it with my friend. Like, I ended up going to his house. I was like, hey, I got this game. Like, you know, let's go through it together. And I think what drew me into it was not the actual game itself, but it was the camaraderie of, you know, playing with people and enjoying the game with people and having the discussion of the game with people. As with, like, you know, in a World of Warcraft server, like, you enjoyed the talking aspect of the game and talking through the strategies and the worlds and the, you know, the quests that you're doing and the items you're collecting. Yeah. It was the same thing for us as kids when I was growing up playing Pokemon. Like, I had a handful of friends who I knew who played Pokemon, who really enjoyed it. And I continue to play through the series because of that. Now, eventually, the game mechanics grew on me and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I started to enjoy the game more because of it. But I understand the viewpoint that you have in that, like, yeah, I mean, it's a collect-a-thon. You know what I mean? There was a lot of the retro games back in the day. Like, Donkey Kong 64 was a massive collect-a-thon. Like, that's all it was. It was just you visit the same world 5 times with different characters and collect stuff. And I wasn't a big fan of that. Like, I liked it when you played it once. But after a while, you know, it gets a little repetitive. But it was cool to have, like, where we would battle with each other, or we would talk through, like, how to beat a gym or how to get through a route, or, oh, I found this. And, you know, oh, do you see that they're releasing this game and they're going to do it so we can transfer our Pokemon? So, like, you could take the old Pokemon and bring them to a new game. You know what I mean? So that was my perspective of it, because I was kind of in the same boat. But I think what drew me to it more was the people playing it, and that there was a cool community behind playing. And, like, you know, my friends who played it were into it. Like, they enjoy it. They weren't, like, over the top into it, but they were just excited to play it with people and, like, sit down. Like, we would all sit down at lunchtime. We'd all have our Game Boys out. And we had a little notepad where we wrote notes about certain gyms and, like, what level the Pokemon was. Like, we just enjoyed that aspect of it.
That's fair. And I think you were at the exact time, because that's before the internet really took off and you could just Google whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. So you had to talk with other people playing the game as well.
Well, and even, like, I remember when my parents first, like when we had home internet, and, like, we didn't use it all that often, but I knew that there were discussion boards for games, and you could, like, go mm-hmm. to a discussion board. You could, like, make your profile and, like, you know, send stuff in that you thought was cool or interesting. And I remember looking at some of the, like, small discussion boards of people saying, like, oh, I beat this gym using this Pokemon with this moveset. It's like, okay, cool. Like, they didn't say anything else about it. They just, like, this is what I used. And so, but that's what I remember from it. And I think the more that I started playing the game outside of my friends is where I started really enjoying because I didn't put myself in the game. I enjoyed the storyline of the game itself. I wasn't like, this is my story. I would name the character different names every time just because I wanted it to be somebody different. Oh, this is Michael's story. This is Caleb's story. This is, you know, Janelle's story. You know what I mean? There's different names that I would put onto the characters to be like, oh, this story's different. And then eventually, as I continue to play, I would make challenges for myself. Like, at, you know how some YouTubers have it now where they like do a Nuzlocke or something. Like I would do a challenge where similar where I would catch the first Pokemon that I would run into. And then eventually I was like, oh, I can only use a certain type of Pokemon. They have to have grass type. So I cannot use anything that doesn't have grass type. And then try to get as far as I could in the game.
Very cool.
So
self-created challenge.
Yeah, and it, for me, it gave the game replayability because, you know, back in that time, like, you only had a handful of games. You didn't have as many options. You didn't have your PC where you could go through a store and go and buy a new game right then and there. Like, you were stuck with what you had, so you had to be creative.
Yeah, I think that's another product of the time. Like, as a kid, you have your three games that you own, and you just keep playing them. Mm-hmm. How old were you when Pokemon came out and when you were grabbed by it?
When did Fire Red release? Because that's when I first started playing it.
Fire Red? I didn't write that one down.
I believe it was 03, 04, around then.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I was pretty young. I don't remember the exact age, but it was probably 2003, 2004.
Yeah, 04.
Yeah, 2004. Because I remember I had the Indigo Game Boy.
Ooh, fancy.
I had the little one. I almost, funnily enough, I almost bought the Target one because they had like a Target branded one, but I didn't like red at the time. So I ended up just getting the regular Game Boy, and it was the only regular one left. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll get that.
Nice. And Connor, you just came out of the womb yelling Pika.
Well, so for me, I think the difference between maybe y'all and me is I also consume the show and the movies too. I think if you watch those and you consume more than just the video games, I think it enhances your experience. And I think it also can lend to being grabbed by it easier. And that's kind of what it was for me. I remember watching Pokemon Forever as that's my first like clear memory of a Pokemon property being like consumed. And then Leaf Green is what I had to play first. So, because I was born in 97, so I was too young to play Red and Blue. Same with Gold and Silver.
Okay, so that's definitely my problem. I graduated high school in 99, so I was just too old. And when it came out, it was a baby's game to me. But I did play it now. And there was a moment in time where I was like, okay, I kind of see what the appeal is. But the only reason that happened is because I was playing on this like Chinese handheld console that has like a ton of retro games installed on it. And there's a button you can press that will just speed it all up. So you get to a battle that you know you're going to win and you just hold down the turbo button and speed up the game. It's like, let me just blaze through this. So that's kind of a bummer part for me playing the game. Is how slow it is sometimes. Like, you know you're going to win, but you got to go through the slog of just pushing the button, confirming all the actions.
It's a forced, a forced roadblock. You know, it's time wasting.
Interaction.
It's not you trying to figure something out. It's just, I have to wait for it to go through. Yeah, it's a forced roadblock.
So being able to speed through that helped. But also, like, I picked Charmander at the beginning. Is that the one?
That is one, yeah.
Okay, and I evolved him to Charmeleon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So then I could kind of see, I evolved a couple other ones and started to see like how the gameplay gets a little more interesting. They get more powerful. I didn't still understand which ones you're supposed to use against other types, but I assume that's just talking to your friends and figuring that out.
Memorization. It took me a while to memorize the type matchups. Now it's all up here.
Of course.
But some of them are pretty easy, you know.
Water, what's weak fire. To psychic?
Psychic, weak to psychic. I know poison is weak to psychic. I know fighting is weak to psychic.
You got to check them on this, Tyler, because I have no idea.
Yeah,
I know it too.
poison fighting. I think that's it. Yeah. Poison and fighting. Poison Maybe bug.
Okay. Well, I on this playthrough, I made it up to whatever gym Misty is in with some water Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah.
And she smoked me with her two powerful Pokemon at the end. So I was like, well, I guess I just got to level up. So I just tried leveling up, but that's kind of where I ran out of time playing this week.
You need a good grass type.
Yeah, and a lot of the things when it comes to Pokemon, it's like, yeah, is just knowing typing matchups. Like, that's really something that comes with the game. But like for somebody like me, I'm a visual person. Like, I'm not going to remember shit if I don't have it in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
So I wrote down, like, I put water and then I had like a little box and I had strong, neutral, and weak and made my
own. Is this notebook somewhere still? Do you have this?
Oh, I lost it.
Wow. Unfortunately, I busted out my NES Legend of Zelda map when we played that game. Wow. I still have that.
Yeah.
Hand drawn, screen by screen. Mm. But those notes are gold, man. You got to keep those.
Yeah. So I think it got lost just in transit when I moved to California. Like it just misplaced or something happened to it. Maybe got put in a Goodwill pile or something. So some kid might have it.
Yeah, for sure. I found a notebook in middle school. Someone had written down all the moves from Mortal Kombat 2. And I was like, I'm keeping this.
That's sick.
Never got good at it. But
yeah.
So you said grass type for Misty. I am going to go back and pound her real good. But
don't take that out of context.
No.
Yeah, please she's don't. A 10-year-old child. You know
what that. Definitely don't. So I think for me, my biggest gripe is things like that where it's not clear and the game doesn't spell it out. Like it's just figuring it out, which is part of the game, but I can,
you also think you have to think about that era too. Like that era was very minimal in information for games. Mm-hmm. Like you just had to kind of figure it out as you were playing the game.
So I guess I've just become soft by today's games. I need more hand holding.
Honestly, and the thing that Pokemon got worse at is the hand holding. They have definitely held your hand throughout the most recent games. So
like it's too much now?
Yeah. Because there's a certain point. I would say like if you want to play a game that doesn't hold your hand as much, that's a Pokemon game. Honestly, would be the DS ones. I recommend honestly the Sinnoh ones, Pearl, Diamond, and Platinum. I feel like if I were to get anyone into the games, it'd be those or maybe even Emerald or Ruby Sapphire.
I mean, anything else in the 3DS era too. I mean, those are all still tried and true Pokemon games. And I think as we've progressed in the Pokemon eras, so Red and Blue, I mean, I don't recall offhand, but I don't think they have abilities. I don't think abilities was in Red and Blue until later on.
But the abilities, not the like growl and leer, those are not abilities.
So those are those are just basic moves. But the Pokemon abilities are like intimidate, which like halves your opponent's attacks. Okay. You know what I mean? It's an ability that can cause it. Something happens in the game, and like in some of the modern stuff. And Connor,
do they shout insults to intimidate, or it's just another little?
Yeah, it's just like it's happened. It happens mechanically in the game. It's like when that Pokemon is brought out, then an animation will play and it'll be like, oh, due to Growlithe intimidation, you know, attack, the Pokemon attack is halved or something like that. You know what I mean? I think that happened. I think, was it Fire Red that started that? I think it was, because I don't think there was abilities in.
Oh God!
Like abilities.
I have no idea.
I don't think there was abilities in Pokemon Red or Blue.
I don't remember seeing abilities. Yeah, I just had actions.
No, so I think Fire Red and Leaf Green started like abilities where you could, you know, some Pokemon had the ability where, like, you know, if they're a fire type and then they were hit with a fire move, it would actually heal them instead of doing damage. You know what I mean? Or something along the lines of that. I'm not, you know. I don't know that exactly. I can't think of it offhand, but
yeah,
there was stuff like that out there where, you know, now there was a little bit more depth to the game than just, okay, grass type beats water type, you know,
not just
stuff along the lines, along the lines of that, where like, as I progressed through each of the games, cause I actually went back and played Silver, and then I also played Blue I played a little bit through Blue. I kind of like touched on it and got about halfway through the game. But I remember like going backwards in Pokemon was a really weird thing because you're so used to having abilities and having certain things in the games now that you don't have in the older games. So like, you know, I would send out a certain Pokemon. I wait for an ability to happen and it doesn't. And it's like, well,
wrong okay, game, now, buddy.
You know, it changes everything for me because, okay, so now his attack stat isn't halved. So now I have to, you know, understand that aspect of it. And for me, I liked the depth that Pokemon has, but I think it's like you guys are saying, there's a little bit more handholding in the modern games. And
maybe that's what I'd have to do.
Yeah, and it's something that, like, if you really want to, I would say, like, the traditional Pokemon experience, anything from, like, the Game Boy Advanced era, probably up to 3DS, would be kind of my, like, hot spots for Pokemon. Like, that's Sword fair. And Shield, cool. I played through, and it was nice, and it was, you know, it was good, but there was a little bit of hand-holding in regards to the Pokemon you kind of encounter and what encounters you had with trainers and stuff like that. And it was kind of clear that there was this kind of sense of, okay, they want people to just accomplish and, you know, make it through the game quickly.
Okay. I'll share one other experience. I went to Target and saw a man pull Pokemon cards off the rack. I was like, oh, there's a Pokemon guy. Let me talk to him before the podcast. And I asked him, what is it about Pokemon? What do you like about it? And really, he was younger than me, and he said it's really like the nostalgia of it. That's what he grew up with. And so I think that's the biggest draw for people and probably what makes it more difficult for someone who didn't play it at the time and is now too old to just be like, it as a game, as a video game, not super fun.
And the thing about it now is it's that, but I would say find your lane. Like, honestly, I'd recommend Pokemon Go to people because,
yeah,
it's a better introduction than the older games, at least right now, for someone who, you know, like yourself, maybe was 18, you know, just graduating high school when the games dropped. You know, it's for babies because I'll be honest, it is a child's game. It's meant for...
It's simple.
Yeah, it's simple. It's meant for children to play. That's why, you know, with Pokemon Go, it's not just that. You know, it's also meeting people and hanging out with people. Like, that's what I really have been playing the game for, is hanging out with those people and becoming genuine friends with these people that I've met through the game.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, I think I could name less than 10 Pokemon, and that's my favorite part
that
I like
about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a perfect example of that because my sister, I love her. She did not like Pokemon ever growing up. She thought it was weird. She thought it was for nerds. She thought it was, you know, that whole bit. And as soon as Pokemon Go dropped,
she was all in.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to deny that. But as soon as Pokemon Go dropped, she fell in love with Pokemon. She thought it was awesome.
And now,
and like, she would show it off to me, and I'm like, you
nerd.
Her son is now her son super into Pokemon. He's like 3 years old, 4 years old, loves Pokemon, watches the show now, and like wants to play Pokemon Go with her phone. Like, so yeah,
that'll be with him forever too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just that introduction and how you get introduced and what you want to get out of the game. It's kind of what you want to get out of. Because
okay,
if you want, you know, a hardcore, you know, grinding, a game that'll challenge you, Pokemon's not it for you. Like, I'm sorry, it's a pretty easy game to get a hold of and get a grasp of. But
yeah, before we hit some final thoughts on the game, I just wanted to ask you guys some questions, some professional Pokemon people. Please. Did you ever buy both versions of a game that came out? Absolutely. Like, did you buy Gold and Silver?
I bought
yes and no.
I bought Heart Gold. I bought Black and White. And then I got Pearl. I bought Diamond for my brother. And then I got Platinum.
And so just so I understand, the difference is there's some Pokemon in one that aren't in the other?
Yes, correct.
So if you want to complete everything, you got to get both.
Yeah, you would have to have both or have a friend who has the other copy.
Exactly. And willing to trade with you because the legendaries are going to be locked to a certain one. And then certain Pokemon, you can only find in one game than the other. Maybe like a, trying to think, like a certain bug type who has like a similar cousin, you know, like a Weedle or a Caterpie.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever complete a Pokédex?
Yes.
How many?
One's like enough. How many games did I complete?
Did you do it like in Red and Blue or?
I did it in Leaf Green. I did it in Diamond, and then I did it in Heart Gold.
Wow, three full Pokédex.
Are we talking about like just the Pokédex for that game, or the National Dex with all of the previous Pokemon as well?
Connor, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what you're talking about.
So there's the Pokedex for the game. So for example, with the Sinnoh game, there'd only be...
I think that's what I mean.
150. But the National Dex would be those Pokemon and then...
Connor, you need to dumb it down a little more because they don't know what the Sinnoh game means.
Pretend like I don't like Pokemon.
Okay. The Pokemon you can only find in that game or the Pokemon in all of the other games combined?
I'm just playing Pokemon Red, what other Pokemon can I get?
That's true. I'm more thinking about like Sinnoh. So no, okay. I would have completed the decks for those games, but not the National one.
Okay. All right. Favorite Pokemon?
Ooh.
I've got like a couple.
Are we talking just collective?
Yeah, across the series. Name three, five, however many you want.
I'll do three. Let's do three. Connor, one legendary, one starter.
No specific order.
Well, Garchomp, Conkeldurr, and Empoleon. Those three.
You're making those up.
I swear to God.
What's that?
I believe you. Tyler, what's your top three?
Legendary favorite would be Suicune.
I wish I could react more. It's just not. There's nothing happening.
Starter would probably be Torterra.
Okay.
And then just like a base Pokemon.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but well, I do know why, but because I play this character in Smash Brothers, Jigglypuff is one of my favorite Pokemon.
Okay, right? The crossover aspect.
Yeah, and just because I play her and it's really fun to play Jigglypuff because people get frustrated and don't want to play the game anymore. Connor, sure.
Least favorite Pokemon.
Ooh, least?
Oh, the one that's the keys. That one's stupid.
Klefki.
Which one?
The one that's like a key. It's literally like a key ring.
It's Klefki.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's really done. It was from the Kalos region from the 6th gen. The one I hate? Oh my god. What's one?
Dude, you have to understand that you're speaking a foreign language to them.
That I know.
Some of it, yeah.
Maybe Vanillite, because it's just an ice cream cone.
That's so
it doesn't do anything.
I love a vanilla. Yeah.
it's kind of dumb. It's an ice type. It was from the Unova region. It just felt like it felt like they were bored and they were like, all right, let's pick something out, you know.
It's a lot of mons they gotta make up.
I
figured you were gonna ask this question, Steve, so I did my own research and decided my favorite Pokemon is Trubbish.
Trubbish is
Trubbish.
It's a trash bag. It's a poison trash bag.
I had a friend of mine who had Trubbish and he named it literal trash.
How about last thing I'll do, and then we'll kind of wrap up. I want you to rank these NPC sayings I came across in Pokemon Red.
Okay.
Give them a grade, A, B, C, D.
So are we this doing one said, and then one and then the grade?
Let's not rank. Let's just give them a grade.
Okay.
Or a scale, 1 to 10. However you like to rate.
Let's do a Metacritic scale.
Yeah.
Okay. This person said, Pokemon battles are like onions. They both have layers. And then you get, and then you battle. To be entered into the giveaway, just message us the name of your favorite Pokemon.
That kind of goes hard. I give that an 85.
In the game?
That's a solid B. That's
an 80. I mean, like, I'm wondering if Shrek ripped that off from Pokemon.
Maybe. They both have layers. Okay, here's for your insolence, you will feel a world of pain! Exclamation point.
That sounds like a grunt. Because I don't think the grunts are that great. I'm gonna go 65.
I'm going to give it a 98. I like how threatening that is.
Yeah, it's very aggressive.
To me, that feels like a Team Rocket grunt, though. And those bitches, you can beat them easy.
They're all talk.
Yeah, exactly. They're all talk. I don't like that. I want you to back it up. So, yeah, 65.
Okay. This one, they said, "Hi, do you like Pokemon? No, I just asked you. Huh? You're strange." And then the battle commences.
Zero.
Yeah, I'm going like 45. Well,
okay, one. Because you have to give it one.
45.
Yeah, that's
that was
one.
A weird one for me.
Terrible. El terrible.
The final one, which was my favorite, but they said, "Hi, I like shorts."
100.
And then the battle.
99. That man or child deserves a place in the Hall of Fame for Pokemon.
Hi, I like shorts.
That was it. I'm going to say it's a translation issue.
That's the best thing about Pokemon is you can say anything and then play the battle music. And then it just works. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well, if you can think of any, what would your NPC saying right before you battle be?
Connor?
Oh, man.
Not to put anyone on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put Connor on the spot.
Yeah, thanks, Ty.
If you can't think of one, that's fine. That just popped in my head. Go for it.
How did I get in this game?
And then it's a guy just crying as you're killing his monster.
Yeah. Mine would be, I'm going to kill your monster and then you.
Murder you.
Murder your family.
I've stabbed your mother already.
Ooh, that's good, yeah. Just like a 7 thing, like, look in this box real fast.
Or like it's the dude from Saw and he's like, "I want to play a game."
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. What's in the Pokeball?
I think mine would be, you brought a Pokemon to a gunfight.
Yeah.
And then
you have a gun.
Yeah,
Connor's a child. Okay.
I like it. Connor's all right, so
do you play Pokemon Go?
And then you fight him. She's smiling. Yeah. Final thoughts. I think Pokemon Red is okay. To me, it's the same game that we already played, Pokemon Silver and Gold. I understand that they're not the exact same game, but to me, they're kind of the same game. Definitely worth playing if you've never played a Pokemon game, just to learn what it's all about. And I am going to go back and defeat Misty.
I think that this is just knowing Steve. If Steve had been like 10 when it came out, he would be a big Pokehead. I personally think this. I know Steve likes looter shooters. I also don't care for those. I just don't like acquiring things. I want nothing. And so,
well, I'm glad you're not a hoarder.
I want to live in a blank room with no Pokemon.
So. Well, I can see that in the background of your camera. Like, the only item you have is a microphone and your headphones and your glasses. Everything else is just nothing.
So I don't know if it would ever have done it for me. I will say that Sword and Shield?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That actually does kind of appeal to me because it graphically is more interesting and reminds me more of RPGs I enjoy playing. So that if I ever get a chance, I may give that one a shot. That does look interesting. But that was just what I was thinking. If Steve was just 15 years younger, he'd be.
Had I been younger.
Yeah, Pokemon.
Final thoughts from you guys on Pokemon Red and or Blue?
I'll kick it off. I would say it was the baseline for a lot of people. You know, people were watching the shows. They were excited. They wanted to be a part of the world. And then the game allowed them to dive into the world and enjoy Pokemon for what it was. I think now, in comparison to a lot of the Pokemon games that are out there, if you were kind of wanting to start your Pokemon journey, I think it's good for you to at least have played the game, not necessarily beat it, but just to get conceptually the bare bones of Pokemon structure of typing matchups and understanding encounters and how to defeat certain gyms and that kind of stuff. Like, I think that collectively is a good thing for people to play. But in comparison to the other games, it's not going to catch up graphically, but that wasn't the intention of the design during that time. It was more for you're playing through the Pokemon universe.
Got it.
I feel with Pokemon, try to consume other pieces of media with Pokemon. A movie, you know, maybe a season of the TV show, something along the lines of that. Maybe, you know, it's not for you right now, but honestly, I think if you were to ever have kids, or maybe if you have like a cousin or little nephew, niece, I would highly recommend getting into it with them, because seeing it through a child's perspective, I think will help you gain your perspective too, and to see why it is so loved by, you know, people who grew up with it and on.
Right on.
Thank you for that. Very thoughtful final thoughts from true Pokemon fans. Maybe we'll get there one day. We want to thank you guys so much for being a part of this episode with us. Encourage all of our listeners to check out their podcast, Who's Got Next Game, where they talk about video games and aspects of video gaming, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's how I describe it.
I mean, the big thing right now is we're doing a March Madness brackets for consoles. And so we're really excited about that.
Nice.
So we've got a couple episodes out for that. No. So hopefully you guys can check that out. Thad and Steve, you can send us your thoughts on our brackets, and I'll send you the actual bracket itself, and you can, you know, fill out your own and see how you do.
Nice.
Yeah, we'd love to.
GameCube number one.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks everyone for listening and joining us.
Yeah.
Next week we're gonna play the game BioShock. Ooh. You guys are also welcome to play it. I would invite you back. I don't know if you want to be back. I don't know how this was for you.
1,000%.
We'll be back one day, we promise.
Nice. All right. Good to hear. We'll play BioShock. We'll talk about it next week. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.